Okay, for those of you keeping score at home, we're in the middle of Parshas Noah. We're studying the story of Noah and his sons after they leave the flood. Okay, questions?
Very simple question.
Yes.
Why does it say Vayikach in the Sefer? It says Shem and Yafas.
Excellent question. That's a textual question. That's great. I'm writing this down. Textual question. Why Vayikach if it was Shem Vayefes? Very good.
And how did he know who had done it? Who covered him? If there were two of them there.
Textual, factual. Factual. How did Noach know?
Well, why did he blame the small son?
Yeah.
Well, that was never a question. How did he know?
That's my question. How did he know that it was the younger one that did it?
Did it?
He was
One second. That's different. How did he know that's Shem, Cham, and Yefet? Yeah. How did he know that Cham did it?
Yeah.
Well, before you come to that question, how did he know who did it? That's two questions. You got your two questions.
Oh.
Okay. This is Barthes.
The first question was, why does it just say Cham is Avikanan? It doesn't say...
Why mention Cham Avikanan?
My question was what I asked you before. What happened between the time he planted this vineyard to the time he actually had wine to drink? There had to have been... It didn't happen overnight.
No, and therefore, so what's the problem, though?
What's the time now?
What's going on between the time he's planting the vineyard and the time he's getting dry?
Well, obviously the Chumash wants to relate this specific incident, right? So it's rushing along, and that's, and he had dinner, big deal.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that kind of question, it's not significant to our, I would just say that the other details are not important to our point.
Okay.
But what I would say is, what does that tell you? Noach gets out of the teva, right? And what is it?
All of them wanted to drink when they got out.
They all needed to drink, right? Yeah. Very good. Okay. So I'll give you that one of your two questions. Is the first thing, that's a factual question. After that, this is after the flood. Flood done.
Oh.
Start with the rest of your life. So what's your second question?
Well, the second question was somebody else also already said it. How did he know?
How did he know? Okay. Good.
Okay.
Nobody asked the most basic question.
Why do you have to repeat the very first thing? He tells you the names of the kids,
mm-hmm.
and then he says, these are the three sons of Noah. You said it. Vayehu b'nei Noah, hayichim min hateva, shem cham v'yafet. And then the next part, shlosha elu b'nei Noah. So it gives you the names. These are the sons of Noah, and then says these are the three sons. Why does it have to be repeated?
Very good.
And the other one.
I wish I had a blackboard.
Yeah. And the other question again is repetition.
Maybe I should borrow my wife's overhead. Yeah.
And then there's another again. Why does he repeat constantly that Ham was the Avi Canaan? He says it's repeated twice. Ham the father of Canaan, and when Ham being the father of Canaan, I'm looking at the English. Why is it repeated?
You just said it
in the previous
pasuk. Mrs. Wellberg, what do you have?
No, these are all the questions that I wanted to ask him. But at one time, he calls him even Canaan. He doesn't even call him Ham anymore. He's just Canaan.
Whoa. So, you noticed something, but now ask a question. So what's the question?
The question is, why does it have such an importance that he, as an individual, disappears in Canaan.
Where do you see this? Where are you showing me?
Aror Canaan in Chafe.
Good.
Canaan.
Aror Canaan Eved Avadim Yel Echav.
That's right.
So what are you asking me?
I'm asking why is not the name Ham mentioned, and why is it not Ham HaKanaan?
It's not Ham. Ham is Canaan's father.
Yeah.
So he's not changing the name of Ham.
Yeah, but why is he cursing Canaan?
You left him out and you put it in his kid.
That's a different question.
Why is he cursing Canaan?
Why does he curse the son?
For what his father did.
Do you understand? Instead of asking, he's not changing Ham's name.
No,
he's labeling the son.
Yeah.
Why is he blaming Canaan? There he goes. That's a fact. That's a factual question. Wait. That's question number one. Question number one. Hold on. You had your two. Okay. I got you started. This is great. Question number one is, what happened.
Yeah, what was so terrible then
to accept
in the English?
Wait, no, I don't know any English.
Yeah.
Son was disrespectful to his father. He didn't go, why didn't he just cover him up right away? Why did he have to go tell his brothers? Why didn't he take it apart? He
told wait.
How did he know anyway?
Stop.
Even if that's
Noah
didn't know. Mr. Sinsky, you have two questions? No, you don't.
Yeah, well, why did they, when he came out of the ark, why did he plant it all
up in here? Because he needed a dreg. Right. You have another one?
Yeah. Okay, here's my feminist side. Why did they only mention the men that came out? What happened to the women?
They're ancillary. They're helpmates.
Okay, well, that's what I said. That's my feminist side coming
out. Correct. Ms. Easton, do you have another one?
Yes, I did. Why did he call him the young, the small son? Why was he small, or was he...
Wait, one second. Where are you? Very good. Eight Asher Asalo B'no HaKatan. Why did he... Right. Interesting. One second. Actually, that's very good, because, in fact, what's the problem with that?
Why Katan?
One second. What's the problem? There's a problem with calling him that.
Because he wasn't.
Maybe.
Realize what his small son had done. Well, look in the Hebrew, though. In Hebrew, what does B'no HaKatan usually mean?
Little?
Youngest. B'no HaKatan usually means youngest. But?
He's not the youngest.
Good. Is that a factual or a textual?
Textual.
Well, but I think it's textual. Why is he referred to as B'no HaKatan? Why is he... Well, we'll see in a second. That's B'no. Wait a minute. B'no HaKatan, if Ham isn't. Hey, Mr. Shana, do you have anything? Good. That's another fact. What's so terrible about what Noah did?
In the privacy of his own tent.
I guess the door is open.
The door is always open. Lillian? I'm confusing Lillian and Ann. I always confuse you. And you have anything else? It was a guess. I took a guess and got it wrong.
Not far wrong.
Why did Noah bless his two sons and not him? Was he that mad?
Oh, he was mad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the question really, that harkens back to, well, what happened? You don't know what happened. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. What else? You have anything else? Or you're, that's
no,
it.
No.
Aviva?
And why was he mad?
One second. Well, we'll see that harkens back to what happened. If you don't have anything, that's okay. Michelle, did I get to you yet? You have anything?
Question.
You have anything? Nothing.
Nothing, no.
Okay, one second. Did I get to Mrs. Snow? Did I get you? Okay, so far, by the way, I just wrote them down with 11 questions together.
I have just...
That's pretty good. Very good, yes.
Yeah. It says, blessed is Hashem, the God of shame.
Yes.
How did he know? I mean, wasn't God the God of everyone?
Yes, yeah, but he's saying that God should be with shame. That's the thing. Blessed is blessed is God. He should be the God of shame. That's a dress up that he's given.
Not the other ones?
Well, then he says, and he dwelt in the tent of Yafet. And Ham, what about Ham? Oh, he's in big trouble. So forget him. And the Canaan is a slave to both of them.
He didn't speak it when his son did to him, or what?
No, he's angry.
So let me sum it up. Let's
I can't tell what the conceptual question is. Can you tell me what text and
fact? A factual question is, what happened?
That's
no. And then the textual question is, why does the Torah then describe what happened in a certain way that would seem abnormal or unusual? What does the language try to teach me about what happened? Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to know what happened. Sometimes I'm not going to find it in the text. Sometimes I will. But in addition, sometimes the language, the text, the way the text describes it, is also unusual. It seems a little bit out of order. So let's go through our factual questions. Big question number one is, Well, let's start from the very beginning. Why does Noach plant a vineyard? The real question you have to ask yourself is, what does it say about Noach that he plants a vineyard?
He's thinking about the future.
A vineyard? If you're thinking about the future, what do you plant first?
How should they make kiddush? Yeah.
Wheat. I'm going to make kiddush. He could do it on deer.
But you can also
do it on
beer.
You can do it on
cow.
It takes several years before it can come.
10 years to grow a vineyard?
I don't know how long, but it's
not. By the way, anybody know anything about making wine? Can you squish the grapes? What happens if you took wine, you squished the grapes together and just left them? Would it turn into wine, or you have to actually do something?
You have to add sugar.
Yeah.
But you have to add sugar.
One wonders, how did Noach know how to make wine?
He read books.
He took out a video from the library in South Dakota.
He
has
got wine making.
And he found out
the wine was done.
He has got wine making.
Why did, okay, so why did Noach make wine?
Want something to drink.
Why? Okay.
To celebrate the fact that they
survived.
There are two reasons to drink wine. Right?
One is to remember and one is to forget.
That's correct.
One is to remember and the other is to forget.
Correct. Absolutely correct. One is to celebrate and one is to mourn.
When you
drink wine, think about it. You drink wine to celebrate your joys.
You
never heard of the term drown yourself in your sorrows?
Right,
well, you're not drowning in water. So which reason is the reason that Noach planted his vineyard?
To celebrate.
That he survived. That he survived.
Or maybe he was mourning all the ones that didn't survive.
So
it's a very
I always felt, and I still feel, I haven't seen anybody convince me otherwise, that Noach, imagine you're Noach, you know, you have to think of it, think of the ark as a time capsule. You know, there was once this movie, I don't even remember what it was called, about this guy who was afraid in the 1950s of a nuclear attack. So he built a bomb shelter. But he built the bomb shelter in such a way that it had time release. He was afraid of the radiation. It would only open in 50 years, in 30 years, whatever it was. So he had a son who was 3 when they entered the time shelter. He said he saw it like a Brandon Fraser, there was a blast in the past or something like that. It was very cute. And he comes out 30 years later, and you know, the difference between the world, America in the 1950s, and America in the 1980s, it's a different country, different people, no computers, forget the people. Think about how people dressed in the 50s as opposed to how they dressed in the 80s. You know, what they used to, how they behaved, how they talked, how they thought of one another, the discourse in politics. So think about Noah. Okay, everybody was evil. Everybody was corrupt. But the world was populated. There were cities, there were countries, and now he closed the ark, and he opens it about a year later. You close the ark is a world into itself. Mm-hmm. And a year later, he opens it up, and what does he find?
Nothing.
By the way, where does he land? Does he land anywhere near where he started? Who knows? He's been floating for a year. He lands wherever God wanted him to land, that's where he landed.
And he wouldn't recognize as anybody.
He could have been a block away and never would have known. Correct. Doesn't matter, they're all dead. They're all washed away, literally washed away. Mm-hmm. And it's gone. Everything you knew before is gone. The world you knew as it was is gone. And you have to start again. So is he popping champagne? Or is he drowning himself in his sorrows?
Maybe he's drowning himself.
I think he'd have a mixed emotions. At least his family is there.
Yeah.
And he's happy to be alive.
And right.
Well, is he?
And he's survived.
I don't think so.
Is he?
The insurmountable amount of grief and guilt, he survived when everybody else died.
Well, I don't know. It's very hard. Someone asked another interesting factual question. Where did he get the grapes from? So I said he wants to plant. But if I decided I wanted to plant a vineyard, so then what would I have to do? If I decided just out of the blue, the first thing I would have to do is buy seeds. What's that?
Might have had it with him.
Did God instruct him to take it with him?
Maybe he had some in the
aisle. No. Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Vayita Karem, he planted a vineyard. Turn back to 42. Vayita Karem.
Yes.
See where it says Vayita Karem, the fifth line in the second column? Oh, you don't have Rashi. Ms. Shelley, you don't have a Chumash with Rashi. You're using the other type of Chumash. You want me to get you another one?
That's
all right. Okay. Vayita Karem. Kishenichnas lateva. When he entered the ark, hechnis imo zimurot v'yichurei te'enim. What did he bring with him? He brought with him shoots. Zimurot are shoots of grapes.
Oh, grapes.
Zimurot v'yichurei te'enim. And figs also. Both. So, let me get me this right. If you're going to pack now. What do you bring with you? What do you take with you?
A
couple of books. Yeah. Right. Your cell phone.
A couple of videos.
Let's watch Back to the Future again. Again!
We're living
in food. Food he had to take, obviously. But I'm saying, if I said to you, Ms. Vyshynsky, we're going to send you, I'm going to send you to the new world. You're going to colonize the moon. You're going to be the first person on the moon. But you can take a backpack with you. One bag. What do you bring with you? Telephone.
Something that would grow, something that would...
Good, good. What would I take? I don't know, what we think we would take. Some wheat, some corn, some fish, some apples. Like, the figs make sense. What did he bring?
Nothing.
What did he bring?
Grapes.
Why?
So he can't take his grapes.
We know why. Because he knew he'd need them. He anticipated that he'd need a drink.
Well,
and that's really what Rashi says. Where did he get the grapes from? He brought them. He brought them along for the ride, just in case he'd need them. Which is very, very interesting. A very interesting midrash. Now, by the way, that's a midrash. And that's a factual question. It's not a textual question. There's nowhere in the text that will tell you that Noah brought it with him. But it tells you about Noah's state of mind, according to the Midrash, according to Rashi, before he even went in the Tevah. Okay?
Well, what did Adam take in the Tevah?
Oh, I didn't even write that one down. Where did he get the grapes from?
What did Adam take with him when you went out of...
Sorry, what did he take with him? I don't think he took anything. Well, what does it say he took anything? What?
The ground was just
going to
sprout wheat.
Oh, I don't know. How would he get the first wheat?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a midrash about it or something. I don't know. Good question. One gets a sense, just from reading the Chumash, the first two parshas of the Torah, that the world was fundamentally different, naturally different. The Midrashim actually definitely believe this, that the world was fundamentally different than it is today in nature. I mean, think about it. People were living 1,000 years. The whole thing was different before the flood. The seasons changed. The world changed. You know, and how did things naturally grow? I don't really know. It's very difficult to know. Okay, so Noah plants a vineyard to drown himself of his sorrows. We don't really know why he plants a vineyard. But he drinks enough to get himself so drunk that he passes out in a
stupor,
in a vulgar way. You know, anybody here ever been drunk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Way back in those days.
There's drunk.
And then there's...
And there's drunk.
I recently, I was listening to the news, and they said that in the University of Michigan, they're cracking down. They don't want to have been drinking. So the students, of course, are protesting that they're not allowed to tailgate for hours and hours and hours on end, drinking drink after drink after drink, because, of course, that's their God-given right to get so drunk that they can't think straight. So there's drunk. If you ever been drunk, there's drunk where you are happier.
And there's Purim.
No, that's Purim.
Yeah, right.
That's Purim. And then there's drunk where you're out of control. Out of control. And then there's drunk where you're just out.
And there's drunk where they drink themselves to death.
Oh, that's true. So, which one is Noah?
He's out.
He's out of it.
He's out.
Vayitgal betoch ahalo. Hard to know. Vayitgal became revealed in his tent. They drink a lot. Which also leads you to believe when people are happy, they don't drink to excess like that. You know, you drink wine, you're enjoying yourself, you get a little tipsy, but you don't drink out of control. Who drinks out of control? College students who care only about the buzz, and drunks. People who look to drown themselves to deaden the pain, as it were, to have some kind of, for the alcohol, right? Not for the enjoyment, not for the wine. Okay? That's question number whatever. I don't even know where. Would that be? What? Next question we asked was, well, there are two questions that go together. First question is, what happened? What happened? We're talking about factual questions. What happened? What happened to Noah that gets him so upset?
Ham came in and saw him. He was embarrassed because his son saw him.
Okay, if that's what happened, and he told his brothers,
yeah.
If that's what happened, is that, does that justify him getting so angry that he curses Ham for all generations?
How would he know?
Somebody must have told him. Even better question. What in the world does it have to do with Canaan? What in the world does it have to do with Ham's son?
That's my question.
I don't know. Yeah, why? Why does he punish the son?
A very, very unusual question. What?
That's why I asked it. It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. So that's number 3-4. How did he know? Why did he curse Canaan? What did I do that was so terrible? Okay. And that's it, basically. That's it. Anybody want to suggest answers? What's that? What do you mean, have a different look? Did he look differently? He cursed him that his children would be dark.
And Ham himself wasn't? Why did he call him Ham?
I don't know. I really have no idea. They say that.
He had this look, you know, the dark look.
So, by the way, who asks many, many of our questions? Anybody want to take a wild guess?
Rashi.
He does. Rashi needs to answer these questions. When you go through this text, you can read it and sort of take it at face value, or as you begin to look at it, you see, holy mackerel, what in the world is going on? And you gotta start to figure it out. You gotta get a cohesive picture, because otherwise it makes no sense. You know? And they came out of it. So those are factual questions. Let's look at textual questions. Yeah.
Question.
Now we're not gonna answer all these questions.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Who is Noah to be cursing them that, I mean, it says here, I don't know, but that what he says comes true, what he says.
Apparently.
Okay, so who is he to say, you know?
Wait, he's Noah, I don't know. What, I mean, by what merit do his curses come through?
But he survived the flood.
He's the guy, I don't know.
He didn't survive the flood out of everybody else.
Yeah.
I think that,
special, I guess.
Let me ask you this question. How many people here benched their children on Friday night? No, I do. I started doing it. I never did it. People should do it. It's interesting that I find that kids love it.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really. Right. That's why I say, they're waiting for it. They never run away from it. You would think, you know, kids, they really like it. And so who are you to bench your children?
Father. It's not the same thing.
Yeah,
because I mean,
really?
What he's saying is coming true. It's like Moshe saying, you know, God told me this, and that it's going to come true.
He's just saying it. It's like, you know, he's saying
is he?
He's going to win because
is
I
it?
Say so.
Is he?
You know? Huh?
Is he?
Is he what?
Is he just saying it? So I'm saying, who endows anyone the power to bless or curse someone else?
Hashem picks him
to survive the flood.
What?
Everybody can give a blessing.
And?
I guess for the verse
too. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I heard it's a really good the Holocaust survivor.
Yeah?
That's what they
so say. Obviously, some people's blessings have greater impact than others. Depends on the person. But everybody can give a blessing, and everybody can give a curse. So you say, who is Noah?
But
when a father curses his own children.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Bad.
And for something seemingly so innocuous.
So it seems a little bit over the top to have elicited that kind of strong reaction. It does seem so, correct? What I'm saying to you is you can't minimize
obviously.
Just like, would you think of cursing your own children?
That's what
why? Why not? It's just saying it doesn't have any meaning.
It might come true. That's always a possibility.
Yeah, punishing.
We should, I didn't say punish, curse. I think we should give as much credence to our blessings of our children as we give to our curses.
It's just as powerful.
No, well, Noach did. That's what I'm saying. So
he was drunk.
No. No, he did it when he woke up, when he was sober.
But isn't there...
When you wake up and you have been drunk for
a long year. Can I reply to Mrs. Roper?
Yeah.
What, there's a Yiddish saying, which is a shikr of link is a nichtern of chink. Translation, what a drunk thinks of, a sober man says.
It says, vayikech yo noach miyei no. He awoke from his wine. Not that he awoke from his sleep. He awoke from his wine. He sobered up. Yeah, clear head. There is a moment when you're drunk, there is a moment in which you cross over. Now, I actually have a moment that's interesting. I was, maybe I shouldn't, well, whatever. My second year in Israel, I was in Shalavim, and we had Purim in Shalavim. The Chusikim, the Americans, we all stayed and we had Purim together, and they let us drink in Israel because it let a lot, and I became quite inebriated, and then they bussed us to Yerushalayim because then Purim in Yerushalayim is the next day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So some friends got me on a bus. They put me on the bus, and then they kind of left me on the steps of Yeshiva in Merkez Arav. And they're gone. There, there I was.
Right?
Somehow I stumbled up to the Beis Medrash and sat down. And about 2 hours later, I woke up and I remember having this feeling that I was seeing things more clearly than I had ever seen them. That somehow things were in greater focus than they normally are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was... I just remember having this very vivid feeling that things were clearer, not that it was just boom, I woke up from my no it all depends on what you drink, you know, and also like how much you can hold. But no, it wasn't so bad. No, almost I didn't get sick before that, but okay. Yes. No okay. So it's very, I think Noah knew exactly what he was saying. So let's see what Rashi says. Why is Noah so upset? What happened? Why is he cursing Canaan? All those questions. What really happened? How did he know? So he has four questions, and we can answer it with one simple Rashi. Says Rashi on page 42. I'm sorry, a second. Yeah, 42 at the bottom. Bayar Cham Avi Kinan. Very bottom.
Yeah. That's fine.
Uh-huh. Yesh Rabosenu Omim. Some say, Canaan ra'a v'higid la'aviv. Canaan saw and told his father. L'kachuzkar al-davar v'nit kalil. Why is Canaan mentioned? Because he's the one that, it's not that Cham saw, it's Canaan saw and he told his father. And so even though it says, Vayar Cham, it doesn't mean Vayar Cham, it's Vayar Canaan. Okay? Vayar et ervat aviv, says Rashi, he saw his father's nakedness. Yesh me rabosenu omrim sarso. Some of the rabbis say that he castrated him. Yesh omrim riba'o. And some say he, what's the word? Raped him. So, Canaan is not innocent. Either Ham or Canaan either castrated or raped Noah.
Why would they do that? Where did that come from?
Complete depravity.
So,
it's depravity that they may have seen a year ago. They may have seen that before the Mabul. It's complete depravity. That's maybe one of the things why Hashem decided that's the end. That's it's finished. That's right.
Well, by the way, that's part of the problem. Well, don't get me wrong, but I think that this is an inherent criticism of Noah. Meaning, what was the problem with society before? Everyone's corrupted, everyone's got problems, and everyone, all they do is perpetuate the same corruption. What's the first thing that Noah does when he sets his feet on the ground? He builds a bar. You know, do me a favor, build Shitty Hall. And build a house.
Build a
school. Build a mikvah. Build a school. Build a family. Build a city. Build a life. And then when you're done with that, you say, you know, like, I could use a drink.
Put back ethics into your life.
Well, he knew it takes so long before he had
his dad. Right, he needed alcohol to get him along.
Yeah, but the alcohol
didn't
come right away.
Right, he knew it had to grow.
All I'm saying is it's clear that that's a focus. The Torah wants to make it clear that that's a focus of his.
That was what he had in mind.
Correct. And how do you see that? There's another subtle, there's a subtle indictment of him. Two things from the text. Look at the text and tell me where in the text, in the story, does the Torah subtly, ever so subtly, indict Noah?
Would it be by saying Noah Ish Ha'adamah?
Very good. That's number one.
Noah Ish Ha'adamah.
Noah is an Ish Ha'adamah. He used to be Noah Ish
Tzadik.
Now all of a sudden he just had a teva, now he's an Ish Ha'adamah. A man of the earth. What does it mean if you're, what are the other options? You can either meet a man of the earth or
Tzadik.
Or a man of? A man of God. And all of a sudden, Noah has, the flood has somehow transformed Noah. He's been reborn. He used to be Ish Tzadik. And now all of a sudden, what happened? Now we describe him as Ish Adama. Don't get me wrong, not so flattering.
Yeah, but it makes sense if you go back and think about why was he Ish Tzadik, he was Ish Tzadik because of where he was.
Right.
All those people are
good. He's Ish Tzadik because the whole world is at a minus 35. And Noah is here at a 2. So say, Noah, right, Tamim Hayah V'dor Rasa. You wiped out the whole world. What is Noah?
He's
still a 2.
Okay.
He's
still
a 2. He was taking care of animals.
No, and therefore what?
It's not an indictment of him. It's just what he always was. It's a fact, right?
It's a fact. Would you call it a commendation? Is it a laudable description of him?
No.
So then, what is it? You think it's antiseptic? No. There are three types of. You could describe George Bush as the president. You could describe him as our leader. Or if you describe him as that two-faced, stiff-necked, whatever. So you can either be neutral, you can be complimentary, or you can be derogatory. What is this?
What am I supposed to describe?
What?
A good man of Israel.
No, that's laudatory. That's laudatory. Okay. Anything you describe him will be either neutral, negative, or laudatory. What is Bayachal Noach Ish Adama, a man of the earth?
I don't know.
You think it's neutral? Okay. Even in contrast to Ish Tzadik, and now he's not anymore. Meaning he's just totally a product of his environment. You know, if I said that about you, you come to chair parent teacher conferences, and the teacher comes and says, "Oh, your daughter Rivka is like the greatest thing in the world because all the other kids, mamas, they're feeling a mirror to tomorrow." She's getting D's, and thank God at least she answers something correctly. You feel really good, right? And then all of a sudden, they come to the teacher and say, "Oh, this girl's not so good anymore. Well, what happened? Well, she hasn't gotten any better, but we flunked everybody else out. So now she's the only person in the class now.
She's the best.
So, you know.
She's the only one.
No, now she's the worst.
Oh, because she's the only one?
She used to be the best. Now she's the worst person in the class because she's all that's left.
No, sir. Now she's her best in the class.
Yeah. Or the worst.
And the worst also.
Exactly. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, but it isn't very complimentary. What other word? Another textual indication? That was another textual question. You might not see it, but our scroll, the translation, picked up on it. Mrs. Rover should be able to deduce this because the art scroll translates something differently than she did. See if you can find it.
I also didn't answer why does it say Vayikra instead of Vayikra?
Instead of Vayikra. Yeah, Rashi answers that too.
What does it say?
Let me see. Can I find it?
They were united.
Yeah.
They did it as one?
No. I'll read you in a second. Go ahead. Ms. Robert, do you know what the one I'm referring to?
No.
Okay. Look back at page 42. Pasuk Chaf. Vayachel Noach Ish Adama Vayita Karem. Verse 20. Vayachel Noach Ish Adama. Can you read me the is that Birnbaum? That translation? What was that? It hurts. Verse 20.
And he drank.
No, verse 20.
And Noah, the husbandman, began and planted a vineyard.
Good. The word vayachel means?
Began.
Good. Look at how does the article translate it. Again, read me the translation again. This is a...
And Noah, the husbandman, began and planted a vineyard.
The husbandman. That's an isha adama. What is a husbandman? I have no idea. Okay.
It's about animal husbandry. He reproduces.
Okay. Fine.
Released
himself. How does the article translate the same verse? Read the whole thing. Verse 20.
Noah, the man of the earth, debased himself and planted a vineyard.
Whoa, where in the world does that come from? So, Mrs. Roberg, when you translate Vayachel, you translate it as, and he began. Mm-hmm. Right? The word, and he began, is a little unusual. Vayachel Noah, ish adama, and Noah, the man of the earth, began. Vayita karen. Began what?
Life activities.
And, okay. Why not just say Vayita Noach Karem? And I'll know that he began. What else would he do?
Planted the vineyard.
So instead, Rashi says that word Vayachel doesn't mean Lahatchil. Okay, because in addition it would say something else. Vayachal, Vayatchil. So Vayachel, Rashi says, let's read Rashi. Vayachel. Chav, fourth line. Asa atzmo chulin. Chulin, not chola, chulin. He made himself, chulin is the opposite of holy. He made himself, the word in English is profane. So we normally assume profanity to be negative, but profane is not negative. Profane is the absence of holiness. He's an isha adama. He's removed himself from spirituality. So hayala la'asot tchila v'nithiya acheres. You know, like we said, should have built a shul, should have built a city, should have built a school, should have built anything else. Should have planted something else. What are you planting? So vayachal means he debased himself. He lowered himself.
That's what it says right in the English.
Well, what I'm trying to show you is vayachal is not a translation. The translation is correct in the Hirsch. Vayachal means he began. Chulin is a drush. Rashi's trying to explain and interpret. It's an interpretation. He debased himself. He lowered himself. That's a textual sensitivity. Mm-hmm. You should see that and say, vayachal, what does vayachal come to teach you? Why is he called an isha adama? Do you understand, Reza, why those are textual issues? They're not factual. I don't want to know what did Noach do. I want to know why does the Torah describe him as an Isha Adama? Why does the Torah use the word Vayachel? What do I need to know that for? It doesn't really tell me anything. So Rashi comes to answer that. It's that the text is trying to communicate something about Noach, about how he began his life. I'm going to finish off here because we're out of time. I think I saw it with Sforna. Sforna has a very, very insightful comment. Here we are. Vayachol Noach, it says before now, Hitchil b'foal bilti na'ot. He began b'poal bilti na'ot. An unpleasant activity. An unpleasant behavior. Meaning, was Noach's behavior wrong?
No.
Was it bad?
No.
It's profane. It's inappropriate. It's not. It isn't the first thing you'd like to see him do. It's secular.
It's not wrong.
Well, I wouldn't even say secular. Secular is non-judgmental. Profane is a more accurate description. Bilti na'ot, not nice. V'lachein nimshechu mizeh ma'asim asher lo yeyasu. No. He said because of he went in a certain direction, inappropriate things happened from there. Ki amnam, he's so insightful and so correct. Me'at bin hakilkul b'hatchala. A slight deviation in the beginning, yisabev harbei mimenu basof, causes great destruction in the end. Very powerful. He says, k'moshi yikreh, as it happens, let me see if I can finish up. K'moshi yikreh, bechachmot nehata'ut b'hatchala. Right? You know, the engineer is making calculations and they're trying to figure out where the Mars lander should land. So he's off by 0.001 degrees. What happens? What minor mistake? What happens to the Mars lander? Boom. He said, we find that in science all the time. You're off by the most minute amount. He said, behavior is that way too. Our children magnify our negative behavior, and our grandchildren as well. So I make a slight mistake. I do something that's inappropriate. If I do something that's inappropriate, my kids are going to magnify that. I'm going to blow it out of proportion and do something bad, negative, destructive, harmful. And I would say the exact opposite in the same way. I don't have to be an angel. But if I do something good, if I'm leaning in a certain direction, things tend to go in that direction as well. And I think that's really what the Torah is trying to communicate here. Human nature is such, Noach is really recreating, he's restarting the world. And he starts the world in such a way that there's no way that his children are ever going to go back in the direction that they want. And really, that's the end of Noah's life. You see, right after that, what do we find out? After this story, it's the last story we hear of Noah, and he dies. You know how long it takes him to die? 350 years later. What else did he do with his life? You know what the answer is? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Because he started off. You ever have your car be off alignment just a little bit?
But you live for a
if you let it go off alignment just a little bit, where are you going to end up? In a ditch on the side of the road. That's where you're going to end up. 950 years.
950. That's right.
And I'm in a hurry. We don't know what happened to the rest of us. It doesn't matter. Not important to us.
It just says he lived another 350
years. It's a long time.
Wow.
Uh-oh. And in a way... Oh, I have a minute left. I better stop.
We're done.
And in a way, it's a good indication of us as parents and as teachers, but it's also an indication of what's going to be in the Torah. The Torah is trying to say, we need somebody to pull the humanity out of this mire. You know, humanity is only going to get worse and worse and worse unless God gives us a way of finding a way of not just being negative like the first 10 generations, not just being in the wrong direction or profane like Noah. Something has to elevate us to become higher, to become better, to try to do better. And obviously, that's Abraham and that's the Torah. Okay, we'll stop here.